All right. Amen. Well, it's great to be together tonight. I'm excited to be doing the lesson tonight on really, I guess you could say the title of the lesson is Building an Effective Bible Talk, right? Building an effective and growing an effective Bible discussion on your campus. And so we'll get into that in a second. But I did just want to say, man, it was so encouraging this Sunday. Just an awesome Sunday service at Pearl Studios to be together to have a bunch of new friends out, new faces, students from different schools. And man, it's just an encouraging time. I hope you guys were encouraged by that to see that we were running out of chairs. We were having to get chairs from somewhere else just to make room for everyone to be there to hear the word of God preached. Rob preached an awesome sermon on Sunday about Pentecost, and it was just an awesome time to get inspired as we were diving into Acts chapter 2. And so, guys, let's keep it going. Let's keep planting seeds. I hope that this Sunday you could see a glimpse of where God is wanting to take us as a ministry, and that He only wants to keep doing miracles, changing lives, and using us as his disciples to make other disciples. And so part of that, part of how we can see our ministry grow and see more people fall in love with God is through Bible discussions, right? Or Bible talk. And so tonight we're going to kind of walk through before Bible talk, meaning sharing with people, getting people there before, during it, how to be a great part of the discussion and great participant. And then the last part we talk about is after, right? So before, during, and after. And we're going to look at some scriptures that'll help us out with that. But you know, this semester, this fall, we have seven Bible talks in the city campus, right? We have way more going on than this time last year. You know, it's actually pretty much a year on the dot since our first inaugural Sunday service of the campus region. That was on September 5th of last year, just a couple of days ago. So man, it's cool to see how God's brought us to a place where we have these discussions, right? We have two Bible discussions in the Bronx. We have a discussion weekly at Brooklyn College. We have two discussions at NYU. We have a discussion at City College. I mean, it's just awesome to see God moving. And this week, meeting people, seeing visitors come out. And I know as we come back from camp, we'll continue to see new people come out to these discussions. But part of you know, the reasoning of why we want to do this lesson tonight is to equip you guys, right? You're out there, you're on your campus, you're in your campus community, and you are trying to make an impact. You know, some of you guys are leading a Bible discussion or part of a Bible discussion where there's no campus minister there, or there's no intern there. And so it's you as the students, and that's awesome because campus ministry is a student-led ministry. And so we want to equip you guys tonight with how to grow, how to build an awesome, effective Bible discussion on your campus that is fun, that is faith building, and that people want to come back to, that people want to be a part of. So you guys can turn over to Matthew chapter 9. We're going to look here in Matthew 9 to start out. I got my older Bible out today. This thing is torn up. I don't know if you can see. This is my dad's before it was mine. It's got duct tape and stuff. But when I first started leading Bible discussions and Bible studies in New Jersey, this was my Bible. I have like random notes in here for studies and what not to say, and it's interesting. So if I start reading non-scripture, that's probably because there's chicken scratch somehow covering the scriptures. So you can call me out. But we're going to look in Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse 35. It says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds at Lehman College, at NYU, at Mount St. Vincent, right? When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers, the laborers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. This is a great scripture. You've probably heard this scripture before, especially with it being the beginning of the semester. But what do we see here? Well, one, we see that Jesus was going throughout all these different towns, all these different places where people were, right? And he was preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness, preaching, teaching, and healing wherever he went. But as Jesus was walking from community to community, he looked at the crowds and he had compassion. He looked out and he saw human beings that needed a shepherd, that needed guidance. And in the same way, the students on your campus and the people in your borough and in your campus community, they need a shepherd. They need Jesus. Especially in a time like college where people are trying to figure out their life, what they want to study, what they want to pursue in life. People need shepherding. People need a relationship with God. People need Jesus. And so Jesus says here, you know, after he makes it clear, it makes it clear what his heart is. He says to these disciples, hey, the harvest is plentiful. Right? The harvest is there. The people are there. The need is there, but the workers are few, meaning the people who are going to go work these harvest fields are few. The people who are going to actually have compassion, go and make a difference and extend hope, there's few people out there that are going to do it. And so we need to pray and ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers, to pray for workers. And so when we're on our campuses this fall, and as you're doing your Bible discussion, you are the workers that Jesus prays for. You are the workers that you pray for, right? We are the disciples who get to work these harvest fields, AKA your campus community, to plant seeds, to meet people, to water those seeds, and to see people come to be a part of God's kingdom. And that's an honor. And I just want to encourage you guys that, man, no matter how you're feeling about your school or how many disciples are in your Bible talk, maybe it's just you on campus, no matter what your situation is, the harvest is plentiful. That is always going to be true. But the question is, will we be Jesus's workers? Will we go out and meet people? So Bible discussions is a way that we can go and bring people and see a harvest. And it's something, it's a tool that we invite people to come to know God. And so I want to talk a little bit about first, just about as we're sharing our faith on campus, as we're inviting people out, what does that look like, right? How should we go about that? Obviously, we need to open our mouths. Obviously, we need to meet new people. But once you're there with someone and you have that moment where you do start speaking, what do you say, right? How should that go? And this, that might sound elementary or basic, but you know, sometimes we just need real practical advice. And so I want to talk about how to get people to your Bible discussion, right? Obviously, you know, we've all decided on our day and times and our location. But once you decide on that, it's okay, let's get people there. And so just here's just some practicals for as we share. Obviously, our hearts should be to look out to see people with Jesus's eyes, to see people in need of their Father, of God, and with that heart of compassion to go and plant seeds. And so here's just, I think, main things to hit on when you are inviting someone out. One is be relatable, be approachable, right? As you meet someone, don't just rush into it really quick and say, hey, I want to invite you to the Bible discussion. It's this day at this time. Would you want to check that out? Like, don't scare someone, right? Make an introduction. You know, sometimes I like to say, hey, excuse me, could I ask you a question real quick, right? They might just think I'm asking for directions, right? But I'm actually not. I know where I'm going, but I'm trying to give them direction, right? Sometimes I'll start with that. sometimes I'll say, hey, I just wanted to invite you to something. I know this is random, right? We're trying to just make people feel comfortable as we're inviting them. But keep it simple. And honestly, at the end of the day, as long as you say something about God, if they're interested and they want to know God, they're going to come, right? So don't worry so much about exactly what you say. You want to say, hey, excuse me, I know this is random. I just wanted to invite you to a student Bible discussion on campus. It's Wednesdays at 1 p.m. and it's a group discussion for anyone, no matter what your background is. And we're students that want to grow in our relationship with God. And we want to have discussion about how to grow and our connection to God while in college. Is that something that you'd want to check out? Right. And maybe they'll say, yeah, no, that sounds interesting. Like, tell me more about your group. And then maybe you can say, yeah, we're part of a group called Alpha Omega. It's a church for college students in the city. And we're all about just following Jesus and getting the Bible. Right. But give them the location, give them the time. And as you're feeling out, if they're interested, right, obviously, if they keep walking and they walk away from you, okay, probably you can drop it there and you know, politely let them go away. But if they're interested, if you're seeing, wow, this person might want to come out, don't just let it be this awkward moment of them saying, oh, that sounds cool, I'll check it out sometime. And they might say that to you, but you didn't even tell them where it is, right? So don't let them just get away with that. Oh, that sounds cool, I'll check it out. No, say, hey, oh, yeah, that'd be great if you can check it out. If you want, I send out a weekly text of what we have going on each week. Would you want that info of where we're going to meet and what time, right? Like, make a connection, right? Make it so that you can follow up with them and continue to invite them, right? It's such a simple thing, but ideally, as you're building a connection with someone and getting to know them, you know, get their phone number. Say, hey, could I actually text you the info? Or if they're not comfortable with a phone number, maybe add them to our weekly email, get their email, right? And if those two they're not comfortable with, there's always Instagram. But I think Instagram is usually more of like a cool way to connect for them to maybe see our ministry. But ideally, we want to get someone's number. We want to build a friendship with them, right? And we want them to be able to come to the Bible talk that week. And so don't get discouraged when someone says no, right? Don't get discouraged when someone says, sorry, I can't come, right? The harvest is plentiful. It just means we need to keep meeting people, keep sharing. And so we're inviting people. We're taking time each week before Bible talk, before the day of Bible talk, to invite people, right? We're kind of, it's the climax, like we're working towards it. We're working towards the discussion. We're praying about it. And we're inviting lots of people out, preferably together, inviting, sharing your faith with other disciples on campus, right? And then we come to the discussion, right? You know, it's great to come with energy. But before I get into some practicals about that, I want to look at two scriptures that show us kind of, okay, some examples of Bible talks, right? One is in Acts chapter 19. Turn over there, Acts chapter 19, verse 8. And so we'll look at two quick scriptures that can just show us, okay, where do we see this in the scriptures, right? Where do we see examples of this? So in Acts chapter 19, in verse 8, it says, Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. Verse 10, this went on for 2 years, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul. We'll stop there. Okay, so what do we see happening here? Paul goes somewhere for a long amount of time, right? He's first in the synagogue, he's speaking there for 3 months, and he realizes, okay, you know, this isn't working out here. So he moves on. and he takes the disciples, and now he starts to have these daily discussions in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. But how long did he stay there? Does he just try it out for a day? Does he just try it out for a month? No, it says he did this for 2 years, 2 whole years, going to the lecture hall every day. And what was the product of that? What was the fruit of that? Well, look here in verse 10. It says, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Everyone had an opportunity to come to know God. And it was because Paul stuck it out. The disciples stuck it out. They posted up in this place. They said, we're going to be here at this lecture hall in this public space, and we're going to talk about Jesus, and we're going to teach about the kingdom, and we're going to do this until everyone has an opportunity to say yes to the gospel and to follow Jesus. And so this is a case study of a Bible discussion. They're talking about God. They're talking about Jesus, and they're doing it in a place where there's a lot of people. And our campus communities, our college campuses, there's a lot of people flooding onto campus from all these different boroughs every day. And we are having discussions, maybe not daily. I mean, Bible studies are discussions too, which happen daily, but we're having a weekly discussion. And we're not just going to do it for a little while. We're going to do it throughout our time in college. And we see God bless that. And so I think some principles that we can take from this is, hey, we got to be in it for the long haul. Your Bible talk is not going to grow in a day. Rome was not built in a day, right? We have to be patient, right? Maybe even this week you started your Bible discussion. Maybe there's only one visitor. That's okay, right? But it's going to take time to see it snowball, to see as maybe you invite two people, but the next week they bring their friends along, right? And one by one, we see new students come out, but we have to be in it for the long haul. In Acts chapter 17, verse 2, just read this briefly here. It says, as his custom was, Acts 17, verse 2, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. Notice in verse 2, it says, as was his custom. Meaning what was custom to Paul was to consistently go and reason with them from the scriptures. And so if that was his custom to do that, it has to be our custom. Not optional, right? Having these discussions about God, it's not like, oh, if I have the time. No, it should be our custom as disciples that I'm gonna meet people each week. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be a vessel of God. I'm going to be Jesus's hands and feet and give him an opportunity to use me, right? And to make that your custom. So I hope you can see in these two scriptures that this is where we get this idea of doing discussions from in Bible talk, right? This is where we see it. Obviously, there's many passages in the book of Acts as we're studying it out on Sundays where we're going to see this take place. But once we've invited people and they're there, here's how to make it great. All right. Here's how to make it fun, make it deep, and to have it be a time that you can look forward to as a disciple, but also the visitors that are coming out can look forward to come back to. One thing to start out is if you can have some food, all right. Have some free food, some free snacks, right? Maybe as you're inviting people, say, hey, we got free pizza and a Bible discussion or something. Make it happen. You know, be creative. Maybe have your Bible discussion at a place where there is food, right? So it's a little bit easier. But make it that, hey, okay, I'm talking to college students that are looking for probably something free. Let me give them that. Let me give them a little bit of incentive, right? And that can just help kind of break the ice as well. But usually it's good to do some sort of icebreaker, to do something fun, right? Instead of just jumping right into the Bible, maybe do a quick icebreaker with the group, you know, welcome everyone, have everyone go around, say their name and major, and then maybe some question that everyone could answer. Like if you could only eat one food the rest of your life, what would that be, right? But something to break the ice, something to show these students that, hey, We're not just these crazy religious people. We like to have fun. We want to get to know each other, right? And then after that, whoever's, you know, leading the discussion can intro the topic for the day, right? And think about topics that students want to talk about or students can relate to. You know, at our discussion at City College last week, we talked about worry, talked about stress, right? As people are coming back to school, they can feel stressed about school. And so we talked about, hey, how can you get rid of your stress? How can you not let worry rule your life, right? So let's have discussions that are surrounded around something that is relevant to college students that they can speak to. But also, let's give them the Bible, right? We call it a Bible talk. Let's let the Bible talk. Let's let the Bible speak to their life and to show people that the answers are in the scriptures, right? Now, for you as a disciple who's part of this discussion, you want to be engaged, right? And so whoever's leading the discussion, as whoever the disciple is leading it, help them out, right? They ask a question. If the new people aren't answering, guess who's going to answer? You are, right? The disciples. We want to help them out. And so be engaging. You might already know the answer to the question that's being asked, but relate, share your life, be relatable, be vulnerable. And steer away, this is really important, try your best to steer away from religious lingo or church lingo, right? So let's say I'm at a Bible talk and Caleb at NYU asked this question of what are ways you feel like you could connect or grow in your walk with God? This is what you shouldn't say, right? Don't say, well, you know, I think I should have more quiet times, meet with my DP a little bit more in my D group, and then maybe come to BT more consistently. Like, don't start using all of that. They're going to be like, what are you talking about? Right. Don't get into this place where you're unrelatable, right? We need to show that, hey, we are just like you. We're all sinners. And so let's not be the kind of people that come to a discussion and we want to show off that we know all the answers. We already know, you know, the answers. You made Jesus Lord, right? No, we're trying to relate to people. We're trying to talk in their language, right? Not church lingo. I've done it before. I've made the mistake, but let's be relatable. Amen. And then after, you know, you're building this discussion, you're building a great dialogue, let people express their opinion. I mean, obviously, you know, let's make sure it's respectful and make sure it's in line with the discussion topic. But hey, let's have some real talk. Let's let people really ask questions, right? And that's something we want to train the Bible talk leaders with, is how to kind of orchestrate and navigate a good conversation. We want students to feel like, hey, I can ask questions. I can share an opinion, but we're always going to point people back to the Bible, back to Jesus and his solution. So you have your discussion. You're seeking to be relatable, to have fun during it, to keep it deep. Try to keep your discussion to about 25 minutes, right? And then what's important is that after it's done, before the new people that are coming out rush away and say they have class or say they have to get somewhere, take some time to get to know them, right? You see a new girl come, you see a new guy come, say, hey, thanks so much for coming out today. What did you think of the discussion? You know, what did you think about the topic today? Do you feel like this was helpful for you? You know, and that's a time where we can connect more and preferably set up Bible studies, right? And say, hey, you know, this is a group topical discussion that we have, and it's great. It's awesome. We're going to keep doing it. We'd love to have you keep coming. But outside of this group discussion, we actually do individual Bible studies where we can really grow in our friendships. We can share our lives with each other, and we can answer your questions about God. We can help you learn the word for your life, right? And so let them know about the Bible study series. And so again, Bible discussion is this time where we get to see whoever comes to that discussion is likely someone who wants to know more about God or is seeking God in some way. And so from those people who come to the discussion, we're trying to get in the Bible with on a more personal, consistent basis, right? And so that's kind of the follow-up, right? We're trying to connect with people, get their info, set up a study, Maybe set up a hangout. Maybe they're not interested to study the Bible right away, but say, oh, it's all good. Would you want to get lunch sometime? Would you want to maybe do homework together sometime, study together, right? Just build the friendship, right? Build the community of your Bible talk. Make it a friend group and not just a religious meeting, right? This should be a group of people that are trying to connect with each other. And so that's kind of the before, during, and after, right? And then the biggest thing, and I really want to highlight this, is really our faith. You know, you could do everything right. You could invite people perfectly. You can invite tons of people. You could have a perfect biblical scholarly discussion, right? You could try to follow up with someone after, but if our faith is lacking, and we don't believe that Jesus is working on our campus, that he's working in the lives of people coming to this discussion, if we don't actually believe that the harvest is plentiful, then it doesn't matter if we've done everything right, right? We can't put our faith and our tactics and our strategy and our cool flyers and the kind of food we have at Bible Talk. We have to put our faith in God. Right? We have to put our faith in his power and not ourselves. And for our last scripture, with going with this idea of faith and doing all of this in faith, I want to look at Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. So turn over there. This will be our last scripture. And again, I hope this is helpful for you guys. It's an exciting time. As our Bible talks are starting, as we're going to see these grow throughout the fall, but we need to put our faith in God. Matthew 19, verse 26 says, Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. With God, we can do all things. And so you might be feeling iffy about your discussion. I don't know what you're feeling about evangelism or your discussion at your school or in your borough this fall. Maybe you're feeling like, I don't know, I feel really nervous about sharing. That's okay. Maybe you feel like, I don't know, what if we only have 3 visitors come? That's okay. Or maybe you're feeling like, yeah, but I think I'm excited about it, but I don't know if the other disciples doing it with me are as excited about it. That's okay. Don't put your faith in circumstances. Don't put your faith in what happened last school year, right? Don't let your faith be determined by the past or by past experiences where someone studied and stopped studying or someone came to Bible Talk for a while and stopped. No, put your faith in God. Because with him, we got to believe this, guys, all things are possible. All things. With faith and by faith, your Bible discussion can be the best thing on your campus, can be the best thing going on, whether you're a club or not, but we have to put our faith in the God of the impossible, the God who can do all things. You know, I'll end by sharing about a really faith-building experience. When I was a student at William Paterson University in New Jersey, and I want to share this story to encourage you guys and to help you see that your discussion can go from something very small, something from nothing to something and something great. And so I got to William Paterson. There were already some disciples there. A couple had just graduated, but there was a good amount of disciples there, at least, you know, 5 to 7 of us. But we weren't a club, okay? We didn't have a room. We weren't able to put up flyers. We didn't have a social media account, right? Although Instagram was around, we weren't about it. We thought, oh, we'll be all right. We just need to meet people. But what we did is we were sacrificial with our time. And so we had, I believe, a Bible discussion during common hour. So like Thursdays at 1 when people weren't in class. And I remember being a freshman and just being like, man, this is so new. Like I'm nervous. Matt Rupert was a sophomore and he's just going out meeting all these people. And I'm just like, what are we doing? This is crazy. I'm like, this, I guess this is going to be my life now. I'm going to follow Matt around and have people look at me like I'm crazy, right? That was my initial thoughts those first 2 weeks of school, right? But I needed that. And the awesome sisters that were on campus, just going for it, meeting women, being a light. I was inspired, but I was also convicted. I'm like, man, my faith is not there. My faith is not there. So I had to work through that. I had to pray with the brothers. I had to get myself to a place where I'm like, no, like I want to be a part of making this ministry grow, this Bible discussion grow. And so we started doing discussions basically in this like hallway / lounge area. There were only like four actual lounge chairs, and then it was just the floor. And we thought it'd be a great idea. Oh, let's just hang out there. I don't know why. But we chose that spot, hallway, 4 to 5 seats. And we just started inviting people like crazy. And so for an hour before one, from 12 to 1, sometimes longer, we would just meet up and we'd just share in the student center, rain or shine. And after doing that for a while, the first discussions, you know, we got three people out that don't say anything, right? They're sitting on the floor, kind of like, what is this? Should I be here? Should I go? When's the right time to sneak out, right? But then one by one, people started coming. We started seeing that discussion grow. And we started seeing people making friends. People like, I genuinely want to hang out with you guys. Let's go to the dining hall together. Let's do life together, right? We started to see it grow. That discussion, and I can visualize this in my head. I remember it going from about 10 people, that's including disciples each week. We had Bible discussions with 30 people, about 20 of them just sitting on the ground, coming because they were interested in these discussions. They were like, who are these students just going for it, who really want to know God, who really want to talk about God and talk about these relevant things about life and faith? And so from my time as a freshman to a junior, that became like people knew us on campus, right? And so eventually we became a club. We became a Hope Worldwide club. And that's kind of how we started to build our presence. And then after that, we became a Disciples on Campus club. And then we got to the point where we had a room, a university hall, and we started to see, I remember our one kickoff week when I was a junior or senior, basically a whole classroom we had packed out with people, standing room in the back. It felt like a lecture and it was a discussion. And I remember looking around that day at the new disciples at Willie P and thinking back to my freshman year, and Matt had just graduated. And I was just thinking like, this is God. Like I never would have thought we'd be a club. We'd have flyers on campus. We'd have Steve Kennard coming to campus to talk about Jesus and the poor. Like I never really saw that happening my freshman year, but God did it. We saw a lot of people become Christians there. And it's not because of the way we shared. It's not because of the perfect room we had and the perfect food. We had probably most of the first discussion was like Chips Ahoy, some whack Doritos, and just passing around a bag and hoping that people thought that was cool, which it wasn't. And that's how we started. It wasn't about that. It was about the content. It was about students on campus seeing with their own eyes peers that were in love with God and believed that Jesus is the answer and believed that everyone needs to know the Bible and that the Bible is true, that the Bible is relevant, and that every college student should give God a chance, should give God a shot. We saw students be convinced of that. And so again, it's not about your predicament. It's not about your circumstance. It's about where is your faith? If our faith is there, God can do anything. If our faith is there, God will blow our minds. You know, a couple of years later, Hannah and I were doing ministry at Montclair State, and similar thing. We saw that discussion do really well. It was on average, we had 25 people coming to a classroom on campus, coming to those discussions, and it was so cool to see the disciples come and just be a part of seeing God do his thing. You know, Derek McNeil, who most of you guys know, I remember the first day Derek McNeil came to that discussion. We had invited him like a million times on campus, and he finally came, and we were like, hallelujah, right? But that's how Derek and Taj and a bunch of the Montclair disciples that you guys know from Jersey, that's how they got met. That's why they're your brothers and sisters, because they were invited to a Bible discussion. You know, my parents were invited to a Bible discussion. It seemed like they thought they were going to a concert because a brother was going to do some guitar, but it turned out to be a church event, right? So the disciples were smart. They got to know my parents. My parents love music. Hey, you should come to this concert. It's in the backyard. It's going to be great. It was partly concert, partly an outreach event, right? That's why I'm here, right? That's why I'm here today doing what I'm doing, because someone invited my parents to a Bible discussion. And odds are that for a lot of you, it's the same case. But what about us? What are we going to say? What are our kids going to say one day about their parents? Are they going to talk about the times where we saw the New York campus ministry grow from 40 to 100, from 100 to 200, right? Are they going to talk about the stories of faith and to see that in our lives, right? That's what I want. And I hope that's what you guys want, is to be used by God as you go throughout campus to see your discussion grow. And I wanted to share these stories just to bring some reality to it, right? I wanted to give the practicals, but I also want to give you guys just some evidence that this works, right? This works. God works through it. And so let's be faithful. And if you're in the Manhattan group, or you're in the Bronx group, or you're in the Big East group, which has a Bible talk now, Brooklyn College, or from Long Island, wherever you are, just go for it. Set goals, set the bar high. You know, I have this saying I keep telling myself, high faith, high expectations. Don't settle. Expect greatness from God. Invite a lot of people out. We're going to have an awesome retreat this weekend. We're going to get inspired. But guys, let's come back from that retreat hitting the ground running, meeting people, investing in our discussions, making them great. And let's just see our faith get built. Let's see a lot of people come to know Jesus through these. So I hope this was helpful for you guys tonight. At this time, I'm just going to open it up to everyone here for just a time to respond. You can respond and say something that stood out to you, or you can ask a question. Or maybe you have a faith-building story of inviting someone over these kickoff weeks and you want to share about that. But I'm going to stop the recording here, and we'll just have a time for you guys to just respond and ask any questions that you have for your Bible discussion. So we'll do that.